Good morning. Welcome you all here this morning. It's good to see so many. Well, this morning I will be speaking on justification. And if you remember, a couple weeks ago we had guest speaker Dan Bowers in, who spoke on sanctification. And he did gave us a very good message. And what does it mean to be sanctified, and how are we sanctified? And sanctified, as we know, it means to be set apart. It means to be set apart by God's Holy Spirit for God's holy will. And we are to be in submission and committed to Him, not only on Sundays, but all the time. It is to be our life, the embodiment of our life. Too often Christians try to sanctify God in their hearts, meaning they try to set God apart in their lives for when it suits them, for a Sunday or when it's convenient to give praise to God. But this is not the faith that God has called us to. God sanctifies us by setting us apart from the world while we yet live in it. And we aren't to put God in a box, but God, in a sense, separates us from this world, but to be an example and to be a light in the world while we live here. This is what the sanctification is all about. This morning I'll be looking at justification through Christ. For we know it is by the finished work of Jesus on the cross that we have been given the gifts of sanctification, justification, and glorification, which we will be looking at next Sunday. Romans 8 verse 30 says, "Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified." Justification through Christ is what we are speaking of. And as mentioned, sanctification means to be set apart. Justification means to be made right, to be righteous in the eyes of God. Now, we can't be righteous upon our own accord. There's nothing good I can do to make me appear righteous, but it's the work that Jesus did that we take upon ourselves that makes us righteous in God's eyes. And so two questions we will be looking at is, how are we justified and why do we need to be justified? Jesus gives the how and why to justification in a very simple and yet very powerful parable, as Jesus often taught in parables, and gave great examples of how we are to live. So if you turn to Luke 18 and verses 9 to 14, Jesus gives a parable of a Pharisee and a publican, whereas in some translations it'll say a tax collector. Jesus often used these two different roles, two different men of society, to teach his parables. And we read in verse 9, "And he spake this parable unto the certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess.' And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.' I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." Jesus starts, or we read in this portion of Luke, that Jesus is talking to a specific group of people. In verse 9 it says that he's speaking to those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. He's speaking to the self-righteous, those that looked down upon others and thought of themselves so much higher than themselves. This is the group that he's speaking to. And he uses these two two different people, publicans and Pharisees. Now we know the publicans were the tax collectors of that time, and they were looked down upon by the common Jewish people because they were considered taking their money from them and giving it to the Romans as tax collectors. And they were looked down upon as being deceitful and sinners and kind of more or less lower class. While the Pharisees, on the other hand, were held in high regard. They were teachers of the law. They were to uphold it. And they were considered righteous defenders of the law. They were considered high in society. But you know, these are just outward appearances that they had. God cannot be deceived. He knows the heart of man. 1 Samuel 16, verse 7 says, "For the Lord seeth not as man sees, for man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." See, the Pharisees didn't have a heart for God, but rather they tried to shame society through their self-righteousness. But we know that although the publicans outwardly were sinning, or appeared as sinners, we are all sinners, many did come to the Lord with repentant hearts, as this one did in this parable. And great examples are also of Matthew. And we think of Zacchaeus. He was considered chief among the publicans, and how he received the Lord Jesus. And so we see the picture of the Pharisee boasting in his righteousness while condemning the publican. And the publican humbling himself before God, not even wanting to look up to heaven for the shame he felt, but rather ask God for mercy and admit that he was a sinner. While one sought self-glory, the other sought forgiveness. Even the way that these two men stood within the temple, the Pharisee, we read, he stood within the midst, in the middle, and he probably prayed aloud and spoke of the great things that he had done and the evil things that he hadn't done and how great he was. He truly wanted to be the center of attention. While the publican went off to the corner, probably where it was dark and quiet. And in this sense, he was set apart. He was sanctified to the Lord. In a physical way, he was physically sanctified, being set apart. And these two contrasts in the way that they prayed is spoken of by Jesus. Jesus spoke about this earlier in Matthew, in Matthew 6. Matthew 6, verses 5 and 6, speak of the type of the way in which we are to pray and the way we are to come to the Lord for petition. Matthew 6, verse 5 says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, or into your room. And when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly." See, God doesn't want us to be boastful and have an outward appearance of holiness, but to have that circumcised heart, that change within, and then the outward will come. Jesus concludes in this parable that it's the publican who goes down to his house justified, not the Pharisee. It's because the publican came with a humble heart, seeking the righteousness of God, unlike the Pharisee, who came gloating of his great works and tried to justify himself in his own righteousness. And so we know that it's the exalted, the proud, who will be humbled, and the humbled who will be exalted in God's justification. We are to seek God's justification, not the world's, for we live in a world where true justice seems to elude us. As mentioned this morning by Uncle George in his opening about Remembrance Day, a day we set aside to remember those who made the ultimate sacrifice, that we could have freedom, and we should be remembering them and honoring them for those selfless acts. But do they get the justice? Only God knows. He is the justice. And those that committed evil acts, where is the justice there? We know that in the end, it is God who judges the quick and the dead. Just like we in our present day will never find true justice in our legal systems, nor will we ever be justified before God on our own works. The works and intentions of man will always fall short of God's glory, no matter how good they may have been. Justification can only come through Jesus, for it's his righteousness that we seek and are covered with. Romans 3, verses 20 to 28 speak of justification through faith. In fact, it is through faith and through God's mercy that justification comes. Romans 3, verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is Christ Jesus, for whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remissions of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him who believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded, just as that Pharisee is excluded for his boasting. By what law? Of works? No, by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. There's no amount of works we can do to earn God's favor, nor to be covered with his righteousness, but it's by faith, and by faith we live and do the works that he calls us to do. So why do we need to be justified? Well, verse 23 of Romans 3 said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That is why we need his justification. And there's no way to be justified by ourselves. And if we are not justified, there's no way of experiencing his glory to be glorified. There's no way of experiencing heaven, no fellowship with God, and no eternal hope. Our unrighteousness does not negate the reality of a true heaven and a true hell. So if I couldn't be justified and I couldn't go to heaven, then the only just outcome would be for me to be condemned to hell. And in my sins, I am. But it's through God's mercy that he provides a way. God did provide a way for us to be justified. We are justified through faith in him, in God's grace, that Jesus purchased our sins entirely to cover our unrighteousness with his righteousness. And so we are to live a sanctified life, turning away from sin and living for Jesus. We are to turn from a belief in our works to working because we believe. Romans 2, verse 13 says, for not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law are justified. Meaning if we live by the law of faith, if we are sanctified by God in our hearts, if we trust in him and follow after him, repenting of our own ways, we are justified through his mercy. By the law of Moses do proud men boast, and yet they are made ashamed. But by the law of faith do we humbly come, so the Lord may take away our shame. As with sanctification, so too with justification, does it come by faith? When you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior and repent of your ways, you are made right in the eyes of God. You have to truly believe Jesus is your Lord. You have to truly believe he is your Savior who can take your sins away. You have to truly believe that he can set you apart through his Holy Spirit and can forgive you of all your sins. When you truly believe these Bible truths that our Lord Jesus has taught us, God gives you a peace. Romans 5 verse 1 says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." This peace doesn't mean you'll have peace with everyone you associate with in your lives. You won't have peace with the world. You won't have peace with your enemies. We still endure difficulties, as we've seen so many people in our church that we pray for because of their difficulties. And it's encouraging when people pray for each other. We will endure these difficulties. And certainly Satan doesn't like it when we put our faith and trust in Jesus. And he'll do everything to discourage us from that. But when we are justified through Jesus' salvation, we have peace with God. We don't seek peace with the world. Although we are to love those in this world, it is peace with God that we are to seek. Meaning we know where our eternal destination is. We don't have to be consumed with the thoughts of worrying what will happen when we die. We don't have to seek out the world's pleasures either, because we know that there is peace and joy and pleasure beyond our imagination when our Lord appears. In Titus 3, verses 5 to 7, we read that we are justified by grace. And because we are justified by grace, we are heirs of eternal life. Titus 3, verse 5 says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." We are justified by his grace through our faith in his mercy to forgive our sins, to wash us clean through the regenerative power of the Holy Spirit. That is what it means to be born again, and we are to seek that cleansing each and every day. It's interesting if you ever watch on TV when they have these higher profile court hearings, and when after the trials are done, and people, they always come out. And sometimes there's some truly sad and terrible crimes being committed. And you sympathize with those families that are of the victims. And even when they come out of the courtrooms, you don't often hear them say that they felt justice has been served. Even when the person is found guilty, they don't have that peace. They don't feel justice was served. And that's because our legal system isn't perfect. That's because justice is subjective in the view of each individual's eyes. With so many different thoughts of what justice should look like, it's impossible to have everyone feel justified. But we know, as the Bible tells us, that God alone is just. God alone rules justly. And God alone can justify man out of condemnation. We often look to justice in terms of revenge. How one person was wronged, the other should suffer in the same way, or if possible, repay the wrong person so they are fully compensated. This is one form of justice. The other is through compassion and forgiveness, to have your debt paid by another, your guilt wiped clean. This option is in direct conflict with our sinful selves, with our sinful nature, because we tend to desire justice through repayment and retribution. God uses both these forms of justice to serve out his purposes. In this current age of grace, God desires for all to turn to him to receive his forgiveness, to have their sins forgiven through the blood of Jesus. which he shed out of love and compassion. This is the justification he offers today, to be pardoned of your sins because Jesus, the one who knew no sin, took your sin, took my sin, so we may be covered with his righteousness. We are justified through his righteousness. But the Bible also tells us that those who do not receive God's justification, who reject it, will one day be judged for their sins. Romans 6, verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." In God's holy justice, he will judge the unbelievers, those who have not been justified through Jesus, and all will be found wanting, all will be condemned. And to be condemned is to be separated from God, the hell that is spoken of. The conclusion of Romans 6, verse 23 says, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." That is the gift presented to every human who walks this earth. The gift of sanctification, to be set apart for God's purpose. The gift of justification, to be made right in the eyes of God, to be forgiven. And the gift of glorification, to be and stand in God's glory in his heavenly kingdom one day. Unbelievers always seem to be willing to believe in God, at least that he exists, when bad things happen. They're willing to blame him. They want him to exist so that they can blame him for all the wrongs and question his judgment and justice. But when the same people are committing all types of sin themselves, they deny the reality and deity of God because they don't want to be found guilty and condemned. Willful deception may be convenient for a time, but the truth is always revealed in the end. There is a day of judgment coming to this world which we cannot imagine. I believe the remembrance of the First and Second World Wars and all the terribleness that came with it will be completely fade away in comparison to God's holy judgment. It is a time we don't like to think about. Truth isn't always convenient, but the truth, as God says, will set you free. Jesus is the truth, and he offers his justification freely to all who would receive and believe in him, to escape the judgment that is to come upon the earth. For all who would desire to turn from their old ways and start living for Jesus. There is only one way, one Savior, one justifier. It is impossible for myself to appear just before the righteousness of God because I am a sinner, and God cannot look upon sin. I must be covered with his righteousness, the righteousness of Jesus, to appear just and to be accepted of God. It's by and through Jesus that we are justified. Psalm 143, verse 2 says, "And enter into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified." David, the psalmist, cried out to the Lord not to judge him as he was, for he could not be justified. But I'll close with Acts 13, verses 37 to 39, the answer God gives to David. Acts 13, verse 37, "But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things, from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses." It's by the one who gave his life that we can be justified from all things. Shall we stand for prayer? Heavenly Father, we give you praise and thanks. We thank you, Lord, that you are willing to send your Son, Jesus. And we thank you, Jesus, that you are willing to give your life for us, to bear our sin, our burden on that cross, that if we put our faith and trust in you, that you justify us out of our sin. In fact, you cover us with your blood, that our sin is no more. You take our guilt and shame away. And this is not of our own righteousness, but wholly because you are merciful and full of grace. We thank you, Lord, for the many gifts you give us, the blessings you bestow upon us. We pray, Lord, that as we go out in our daily lives, that we would truly be sanctified, that we would be set apart in this world for your service, living for you, Lord, trusting in you, being in constant prayer, Lord, for you are to be upon our hearts and minds at all times. Lord, we pray that you'd minister to each one here today, those that have pains, that are dealing with sin in their lives, that are enduring struggles, that you would encourage them, Lord, through your Holy Spirit, that you'd lift them up, that you'd strengthen them, and that they would seek forgiveness and guidance. Lord, we thank you for the many who have given their lives for this country, that we can live in freedom. May we not forget that blessing that you have given us. And pray, Lord, that you would minister to all those who serve even today, that they would put their trust in you, Lord, as we fight the good fight of faith. May we be encouraged by one another and encourage each other in truth, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the many services and the many ways in which you have gifted people in this church. And pray, Lord, that they would be willing to use those gifts to serve out your will, Lord, for your glory. We thank you, Lord, for the Sunday school, and pray, Lord, that you'd bless them and the teachers that teach there for their faithful service. We pray, Lord, for the elderly, the sick, and the shut-ins. We thank you for their own prayers for us and for their encouragement. Pray, Lord, that you would assure them of their salvation, that they would rest in joy and peace in your hope. We thank you, Lord, once again for this day, and pray, Lord, you'd lead the services this afternoon and in Lindenwoods. May it be a blessing to those there. May you lead Jack as he brings your word, Lord. Lead him with your Holy Spirit and bless the choir as they sing. May it be to your honor and your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.